I guess I was reading the book with no expectation or understanding of what it was about. And when I read the book, I guess at first I was taken by the, I guess, the Hitchcockian nature of it, you know, stranger arriving in the night, and it had that kind of old cinema feel, and I was really in love with the atmosphere of the story. But I guess what I completely was taken by was how it ended up being this incredible exploration of a marriage, and tapped into all of these themes that are very important to me, you know, around appreciating the preciousness of time and to respect ourselves and the planet. It was something that really resonated with me. So there were so many things about it that really, really worked. I guess in terms of the adaptation, I mean, the big departure from the book was really, in the book, it's very much from Junior's inner mind, from his point of view. And I guess in the movie, we kind of, there's still point of view from Junior, but we kind of brought Hen's journey to life in a much more kind of present way, I guess.
And as you were saying that issues around climate, it feeling very present, really like spoke with you, because obviously the
Yes.
challenges in the film that are brought up are very much aligned with current concerns, you know, especially within the onset of AI and also the onset of climate change. Did those themes change at all during the production or even after the release of the film? Did they feel more present?
Well, I guess, I mean, for whatever reason, a lot of these themes started to become true along the way. So, for instance, when we started the project, AI was not in any news at any point. And I think when we're in the edit, you know, that guy was that whistleblower spoke about his he thought AI was sentient, and you know, this whole and now you can't get any news without an AI article being in it. So I guess we hit the zeitgeist with that. And you know, that the planet global warming has been there forever, for over 20 years now. I guess the thing that has been there the whole time is, I guess, and something I'm very frustrated by is just how blind we are, and our inaction is so frustrating to me. How we can be so cruel to the planet and to other people through our how we take things for granted. And I guess that's what this movie's trying to do. It's trying to alert audiences to our sleepwalking into a future that we know is there and we know has troubles, and what are we going to do about it? And I guess the movie's trying to reach into the hopeful aspects of our humanity and try to give us the power to make change. Like, we can make change ourselves. This is not something we have control of. This, we can empower change. And I guess that's what, even though the movie's tough in that sense, but it's a necessary story for that reason.
And I'll try to ask this without giving too much away, but the film is obviously shrouded very much in mystery, where the central couple is confronted by this opportunity that doesn't feel totally transparent. How did you go about translating that and sustaining that for the film?
I guess the key to it was to make sure that it was hard because there's the story that you think you're watching, and then it's a story that's really happening. And I guess to try and make that feel truthful and not manipulative was the challenge of the script, and I guess the challenge of all of the performances that we had to craft. But at no point am I manipulating the audience. Like, every character in each of the scenes is acting on the truthful part of that storyline, if that makes sense. So if you watch the movie a second time, it will feel very, very honest with all the knowledge that you have on the second viewing. So look, it was that was the thing that really excited me about the project, was the kind of the dual storylines, like kind of concealing the true story to the audience for a while. I found that really kind of exciting, and that sits at the heart of great mysteries. And also it challenges the audience. It's saying you can't just sit back and eat the popcorn on this movie. You've got to, I'm asking you to be engaged and to be involved in this story.
100%. And I wanted to ask as well about the visual style and setting of the film, because it doesn't really seem very typical of most sci-fi films that you would assume, where it sort of looks way more to the past, almost to look to the future. Like we see that with, you know, the house is described as being several hundred years old, you know, the costuming, the music as well. What was the decision behind that to look to the past in order to create this image of the future?
Well, first of all, I think it's just more real. anyway. I think we still hold on to things from the past even today, and I don't think we'll still be holding on to the same things we're holding on to now in 40 years' time. I mean, obviously there'll be a lot of change. So I think it's more real in the first place, in the first instance. But for our story specifically, the nostalgia around the setting was really by design, because it symbolizes what Junior's holding on to. Like, he's holding on to the past, and in a way they're trapped by the past, this inability to move on and to make change. So in some ways, the nostalgia was reinforcing the situation that Hen finds herself in the relationship.
And also, looking back to the past is also shown a lot in the soundtrack, where we hear artists like Clarence Henry, Skeeter Davis, and Fleetwood Mac. What was the decision behind that as well? Was that contributing to Junior's vision of the past and like wanting to hold on to the past?
It's also like, if you listen to all that music, it's often women yearning for a better life, or a lover, or overcoming something. And I guess they almost felt like ghosts to me, you know, ghosts, like similar women, similar people, and Hen identifies with that, I think. So it kind of, we kind of stumbled across that in our journey, but that the music seemed to kind of echo. This is not just Hen's story. She's just one of many women in a patriarchal cycle. And I guess the music again reinforced that in a kind of a haunting way.
Yeah, because speaking of the performances, the central couple, played by Paul and Saoirse, have this incredible chemistry where they've been in this loving relationship for over a long period of time that's been impacted by the intense isolation of their situation. But they're also having to navigate this very new and unfamiliar prospect that's been presented to them. What was it like in crafting this, these performances and these characters and this collaboration with the two of them?
I guess first and foremost, it was really just about making sure that, you know, they really understood the relationship that they had at the beginning when they first met versus the relationship that they have currently. And I guess the complexities of that feed into the story and to the stakes of the story. So I guess both actors obviously were excited to make this movie because it explored what can happen to a relationship over time. And the challenges of that is a very human thing. I think everyone can relate to it. So I guess just making sure, despite the complexity and I guess the weirdness of what's happening to them, it always boils down to that central question around love, around, companionship and relationships. And then if you boil that down even more, it comes down to, you know, that we just can't take each other for granted, because we can lose that thing, whether it's the earth or our relationship or our own destiny and happiness. So I guess just constantly, using that as the core base, everything else could kind of, orbit that in a really exciting way.
And also, I wanted to ask about the setting of the film as well, because we see this really vast array of, very barren landscapes and things that are really affected by the contemporary situations that are shown in the film. I believe one of the locations used was the Winstone Wetlands in Victoria as well. And I've heard that you speak about these locations and how they contributed so much to the film and were able to tell the story.
Yeah, I guess what I loved about the Winstone Wetlands is that, you know, it has a very impactful, it's very impactful to see what once would have been very beautiful, not there anymore. So you have all these dead trees everywhere. Usually a lot of these movies are kind of set in just a barren, empty landscape, which you kind of go, well, that could have just been like that forever. But there's something about the trees for me that have died as a very powerful reminder that we can lose things. We can lose what's precious. So I guess that, and also, you know, I could really visualize how beautiful this farm would have been at a certain point. So I can also empathize with Junior's love of the place and wanting to hold on to the legacy that his family's left him. I really wanted people to connect with the earth and feel the pain the earth's going through. So these locations have that quality. We went out to South Australia as well, where we kind of almost see the earth like it's another planet. You know, we kind of see a little glimpse into the future of what our landscapes will start to look like and how mega industries are just going to kind of use it up and spit it out the other end. And I find that I found that really interesting in the sci-fi context to kind of use the Earth as the the outer planet in a way.